listeners, to episode 38 of the empty rooms of Gorski Manor. Down through the cellars of the manor we wander, through realms of the unknown, yet soon to be known. Endless tales waiting for us to notice them, eager for to share and weave with us, helping to keep these stories of dear souls alive. Our ritual of healing and clearing with Frigg, Mother Goddess of the Norse, and her handmaidens is complete. The blue hairs disperse quickly down the hill, home to the world tree Yggdrasil. Each handmaiden, cloaked once again, walks slowly back into her tree. Frigg herself floated down the grassy hill to the ancient stone fence, she also disappearing, until all were gone, all was silent. Badger and I stood there, before the tree, gazing up into its all-cleared and cleansed cobalt-blue bottles, each now dark and empty within, waiting for those whom may arrive next. I gently touched Badger on his back. He turned to me and placed his paws upon my shoulders, looking deep into my eyes.
Now it is your turn for healing,
he said with care. This took me by surprise. I felt so contented and grateful for being allowed to witness this goings-on, always feeling so safe in his presence. I breathed easily in my contentment. Yet I felt curiosity rising in my belly, curious to what Badger sensed within me.
Come,
he said, taking my hand and leading me to a lovely pile of freshly fallen leaves. We sat upon them, facing each other, looking once again deeply into each other's eyes. I waited for Badger to speak, to lead the way. He reached down and rustled within the leaves, searching for something. With success, he opened his palm to show me a large oak acorn nut, beautiful and fresh, still the color of green, a young acorn, not yet weathered in the cooling autumn weather.
Everything holds magic,
he said in a whisper, so that I listened with full attention.
Magic is to be used.
He offered the acorn to me, and I gratefully accepted. I looked into its shiny green body, so pure, it actually emitted a sparkle and a shine. I closed my hands around it and placed it to my heart. I could feel it wobble and wiggle just like a Mexican jumping bean of my youth. Amazing, very strong energy. I opened my palm and looked into its skin, reflective like a mirror, and I saw a rune. Kanaz was floating within. I watched as it spun in a full circle, changing shape, then fading into some distance. An acorn of scrying.
What did you see?
Badger asked me, seeing the surprise upon my face. With a broad smile of excitement, I told him of Kanaz. He waited with patience for me to continue. I could feel his encouragement to go on. So much knowledge in each rune. Eons of wisdom gathered by souls, one by one, all now remembered within the growing knowledge of this rune, within the beautiful, simple lines, a symbolic face in this dimension. Kanas, the lighthouse of safety, focus, in and out, and I saw the image of a black sun of the underworld. Badger offered his encouragement, making me think deeper into these words.
Shall I tell you where your healing lies?
Badger began.
Here, in this most special place of healing.
He said, waving his arms to encompass this wonderful place of purple, dreaming skies. Yes, Badger, please do tell. Yet, I still feel not clear on how to release my fears, my sadness, my restlessness.
It has been shared recently with you, yet I feel it has not been understood. Your healing is to wander. Follow the path of the wanderer.
He said this with his hands upon his heart. Yes, oh, I do remember this. Wanderer is my word for this year, a word shared to me each January 1st. To be pondered, explored, used throughout the journey of the year. I did not have the sense, though, it held healing.
Yes, it does.
Badger whispered, reading my thoughts. No one here at the manor has done that for a while. It felt good. Felt connected. I went deep, leaving this pile of delicious leaves, going into the darkness within, to search and make sense of this rather large concept to me. Sometimes a difficult place to go, as I do not enjoy being alone in silence. Yet I do cherish being alone. Yin and Yang. What came was a vision of me, always moving towards something different, not staying anywhere too long. Sometimes I do feel I should stop, stick to one thing, but Badger and the Word has shared otherwise. Oh, this is now so clear. I chuckled to myself, feeling the urge to smack myself on the head with the thought, how did I not come and see this before? I recently learned from a new perspective to go back, circle back, and walk the path once again. Review what you have learned, then go deeper. Thank you, Badger. This is a lovely confirmation of what has been swirling within my thoughts and knowing for some time. It is so nice to hear it from you, my dear healing guide.
I, too, enjoy our times together. and those to come in the future.
He said as we both moved into a snuggly, wonderful hug. As we released our embrace, standing up, he said,
Time for you to wander.
Mistress.
A familiar voice called.
Ah, ah, ah.
My heart leapt with joy, for there, running up the hill to us, came Simon and Feathers. I felt Badger hug me from behind and whispered,
Goodbye, my dear.
I turned quickly, but he was gone. Yet I smiled my goodbye to him, sending lots of energy of love and companionship. I turned just in time to be assaulted by my dear companions as we fell into the pile of soft leaves and hugged and kissed and snuggled together, so happy to be reunited, finally. Where did you both go? Why did you leave me? I could not get out these questions fast enough.
Can't say, mistress.
Simon blurted out.
Caw, Simon. That's not nice, caw, caw. Sorry, dear mistress. We had to do some things that had to be taken care of. Caw, caw.
She said, giving Simon a dirty look of reprimand.
What did you do, mistress?
Simon eagerly asked me, ignoring Feathers. Oh, so much, I answered, thinking should I try to pry a little more information out of them, as they have left me in the past before. Oh, but all is well. I am very pleased that they are back. I am happy to tell you what has happened to me. A little dig at their keeping secrets from me in my voice. But let's see where we should wander to now first.
Caw, caw, lovely mistress, caw.
We have mistress, yes.
We stood on a high hilltop, still in the realm of the purple sky. I didn't want to return up to the manor just yet. I felt my path still pulling me downwards. We looked around us towards the rolling distant hills and tall mountains beyond. As we took in this full, beautiful vista, a lighthouse caught my eye, several hills over on a rocky cliff. There! I shouted to my friends. See the lighthouse? The rune Canas was just here, the rune of the lighthouse. A definite sign of where we are to go.
Oh, yes. Let's go, yes. So neat, oh, yes.
Shall we fly? Oh, it is a distance to go, caw. Yes, mistress?
Let's walk for a time. I'd like to tell you all the goings-on and just have a lovely chit-chat. I don't want to rush, I decided. Okay with you both?
Yes, yes.
Simon said, jumping up and down.
But, mistress, please carry me, please.
Come here, you, I said in agreement as he jumped into my arms, just like old times. Feathers, care for a ride? I asked, patting my shoulder. She gave me her crow smile and blink of an eye as she flew over and landed on my shoulder, giving my ear a gentle nibble. So we walked on for a time, enjoying the lovely hills, the purple sky that continued to have many falling stars cross its beauty. about halfway to the lighthouse, we all tuckered out from our exciting talking, my feet beginning to feel the ache of a long walk I haven't done for a time. So I suggested it is time to fly. I gave Simon to Feathers, who took off into the sky, him in tow. I shapeshifted my arms into my great crow wings of black, a lovely skill I can do so easily. But I don't quite remember how or when I learned it. I followed Feathers quickly, and in no time at all we reached the lighthouse, landing high on the top of her balcony. The view was breathtaking, for it was on the edge of the great endless sea. Its wild, deep blue waves stretched out before us to the horizon, previously hidden from us by the Rocky Mountains, as we had been down on the hills of the lower moors. Her waters reflected a purple hue of the sky. Great waves crashed loudly against her walls and the sharp rocky cliff she clung to, white foam swirling in patterns that looked like runes pulled this way and that out to the tide. We peeked into the lighthouse through thick panes of glass. This glass, old and made, so that the images we saw within seemed to move and twist before us. Around the balcony we circled, looking for the way inside, and found the door open. Inside, the great candle of golden glass awaited quietly for nightfall. The room was ship-shape and Bristol fashion, someone doing a grand job at keeping it clean and maintained.
How do we go down, mistress?
Simon asked as he hopped this way and that in search of stairs. I don't see the stairs. We circled the whole room, but no stairs.
Caw, we shall have to fly, caw,
Feathers suggested. Well, yes, we could, but the stairs of a lighthouse are usually so magnificent. I was so hoping to enjoy the path down, I said as I noticed a kind of sliding panel on one of the walls. I touched the panel, feeling it was not connected firmly as it wobbled and wiggled a bit. I felt it should be able to slide, and I looked for a lever or a button to press. My fingers found one button to the left, and as soon as I pressed it, it slid open with ease. We all peered into the darkness, expecting to see the stairwell. But I froze with fright. It was an elevator. Oh, really? An elevator in a lighthouse? How disappointing. Looking at the floor, a horrible shiver of fear crawled up my back. The floor itself was not solid, but made out of a metal grate with a pentagram woven in its center. I could easily see through it into the dark depths below.
Elevator on and down. Elevator pitch and slow. In my dreams it always finds me where I fear to go. Wire sight of dreadful chill through your floor of iron grills, pushing me through stormy tears. Will this time never falling all alone, never going home, lost somewhere from here to there, trying to get home.
This be my worst nightmare. So many times finding myself just like now, no other way to go, needing to go down, being forced to step upon an iron grill, floor open to the terrors in the unknown depths below. A cavernous chilling breeze flowed up with a strong, damp, musty odor. Oppressive, pitch-black darkness, feeling like a spider in its web, patiently waiting. "I am not going in there," I said with another shiver, feeling my knees go weak, feeling my legs refusing to move. I pushed myself to the wall and found a slight comfort pressed firmly against it. I then became so very super aware of where I was, up so very high in this tall, old lighthouse, perched on a dangerous rocky cliff high above the churning endless sea. glass windows open in all directions. I began to feel an uncomfortable sway to this place that I had not felt before, making me woozy and sick in the stomach, hysteria threatening to take over me. How am I going to get out of here? My eyes darted frantically this way and that. I was most shocked to see Simon and Feathers already inside the elevator. Another wave of fear rushed over me. What if they leave me again? Oh my, how many times have I had to endure this dream? Each rickety open grill elevator that I never am able to get out of once inside. Sometimes the elevator would break on one side, tilting and hanging precariously. Sometimes it slips and plunges down a few yards with a perilous jerk. Sometimes the door never opens. One time it was a huge auto elevator, the space between the iron bars so big I had to lay across them and hold on insanely tight. Though, always, eventually the elevator fades and I find myself lost, trying to find my way home until I wake. I let myself slip down to sit on the floor. I felt petrified. Couldn't even think about trying to fly. This fear not there when I do fly. I couldn't shapeshift in this condition, being under a spell of the elevator. I heard Simon jumping on the elevator each time to a metallic groan in response to his laughing. Can it get any worse, an elevator jumper? Simon! I yelled with fright. Please don't jump and break it! I begged him, please don't break it. Feathers came over to me, seeing my discomfort.
Caw, what is the matter, mistress? Caw,
she said with great concern. I do not like elevators, I choked out, holding back a rush of tears. Always scared. Bad dreams.
Caw, oh, mistress. Caw,
she began, coming to sit next to me.
Caw, remember, mistress, Caw, where you are. The purple sky realm of healing, Caw. An opportunity, Caw, to heal this fear, perhaps, Caw.
Her wisdom shook me out of my self-pity. That would be nice. I am so very tired of this fear.
Pull a tarot card,
Simon said eagerly as he joined us and sat against my side to give me comfort. Feeling this idea a good distraction, I pulled my deck from my backpack and began to shuffle. We each shared our breath with the deck to clear any old energy that may be clinging to it, and I spoke my intention. Dear cards, please offer guidance and clarity to what I need to do to clear this old fear of elevators. I shuffled carefully, holding the intention firmly in my mind. I could feel me releasing some inner tensions, just a touch, doing this ritual task, one I have done so many times before, brought a welcome, mystical calm within. The card popped out as it will do as I shuffled. I flipped it over and saw a burning tower. which made me gasp. This card that's first sight brings on an oh no response every time, just like the rune Hagalas.
What card, mistress? What card?
Simon asked with concern to my visible response.
The Tower card, I said, showing it to them.
This deck calls it the Folly. This tower looking more like a lighthouse, with its top floors falling away in destruction. One cannot make this up.
Ending of worthless vanities, worthless fears.
I heard from the knowing. I hope that is not literal.
Destruction. Fully. Before reconstruction can be embraced.
I felt so weary, my energy so low from wrestling with this fear. Yet, I was able to push away the negative message of this card to feel in deeper, letting that fabulous feeling begin to grow when one sees the truth and wonderful insight a card offers. Feathers asked,
"Caw, mistress, do you know when this fear began? Caw?"
I looked at her, a very deep question. A very good question. One I really haven't thought to. Where does this fear come from? Let me think, I started, thankful for her question. When did I first become afraid of the elevator? My spirit rushed into the ether, through the mist and the fog of long-forgotten knowledge, still there, waiting for the invitation to come to the surface. Then I saw it rise from the depths of all things forgotten, a rickety elevator. In the corner, in the back hall of our neighborhood shopping mall, small, dingy hallway, leading up steep stairs to the dentist's office when I was a child. The steps were hard for my mother to climb, so we had to take the elevator. It moved up so very slow, stopping sometimes, jerking others. Us in the confinement of an empty, ugly box, heightening my fears of what awaited me at the dentist above. As for several months in third grade, I needed a lot of work done to my teeth, coming here every Friday to this, yes, that, so was the beginning of this fear. I feel sure of it. I shared this with my companions, and they hugged me so tightly with sympathy and support.
Release your inner victim. Change how the tale ends now. Remember, this is the realm of healing.
Can I do it? I asked myself. Before I could think too much about it, I stood up with resolve, companions at my side, and we walked right into the elevator. It jerked slightly as I stepped upon it from my weight, making my stomach drop, doubt trying to wiggle into my actions, fear right there again, telling me to get off, waiting for the opportunity to strike hard. I saw buttons to the left and took two more steps to them, leaned against the wall for support, and pressed the bottom button. The door closed much too slowly, like an effect in a movie. Another attempt to panic me, but I held firm. All became dark except for a skylight high up at the top of the elevator shaft. There I saw a great friendly eye peeking in the window, looking down at me. Modo! I shouted with joy and relief, my Jotun spirit guide of healing. He winked, letting me know he was here to share this moment. I could see his hand now, just below us, there if needed, my safety net. With a big jerk that bounced us with a seemingly purposeful mocking, we started down. I kept my eyes on the buttons, taking a little peek here and there to be sure Modo was still with us. Feathers and Simon hugged me tightly at my side, sympathetic to my fears. We moved so slow, everything in slow motion, second by second, inch by inch. Nothing to worry about, nothing to fear, I told myself. Let it go. Just let it go, I repeated in my head as we inched down and down. My mind wandered to the word fear. Four little letters, four runes. They say there is nothing to fear but fear itself. More to the meaning of don't let it overtake and paralyze you from whatever the task is that needs to be done. A fear starts slow, then can grow and grow into a monster out of control if one does not control it first. The word fear, F for Fehu, the first rune, the beginning time, the seed planted, then nurtured, even if it be negative, hurtful, and destructive. E for Evas, a close partnership grown with the fear, tightly connected, working together sadly to grow and keep the fear strong and alive, weaving it into every part of oneself. So strong it wants to survive. All the time, knowing this partnership needs to be dissolved. A for Ansus, the rune of common sense being ignored, knowledge not used, guidance twisted, worsened by the fear, not strong enough to believe or act. An R for Rido, the rune of time, time to leave it behind, walk away, break the cord. With each inch we went lower, something that I have not experienced in any of my dreams. My fear and inner tension lessened more and more. My breath flowing smoothly, large breaths, releasing, small sighs, reducing, pushing away this thing of fear. And then we stopped with a final jerk. The door opened slowly. Before it was all the way open, we were out in a flash and so grateful to be on solid ground. Yet, I could not fully move away from the elevator. A cord of some sort held me back, connected to the base of my back, the place that fear rises from within me. I tried to turn around and see it, tried to pull on it, but I could not release it. I followed it back and saw it was attached to the elevator, wrapped tightly within the iron grillwork. Modo was at my side, he my helping giant guide to remove unwanted spiritual cords. He lifted me in his hand, pulling the cord as tight as he could. I turned away from him so he could see where it attached to me. I felt it more on my left side, a side that does ache at times. I watched him reach down and feel where the cord attached to the elevator. With his thumb, he massaged the end of the cord on my back and the other end on the elevator. He began to chant quietly, sending a gentle breeze to swirl around us all. I felt my eyes closing, yet I was aware as I went down a gray tunnel, downwards and downwards, picking up speed, floating until all was a blur of gray shades and shadows of light, rushing, rushing past me. Then I stopped, for before me stood a gray lady. Tattered garments of roughly woven textiles hung from her thin body, long gray hair wrapped around her neck like a scarf.
"It was not yours,"
she said with a scratchy voice.
"So many things attached and given to you that should not have passed from one generation to another. A heritage that should not have been shared. Things you did not know you could deny, not accept. And you can deny them. Do not pass them on any longer."
With that, she smiled with many missing teeth, and I opened my eyes to hear Modo ask,
"Do you no longer accept this heritage?"
I did not falter. "Yes, I no longer accept and am bound by these many things."
"As you ask,"
he commanded, and with two flicks, removed the cord from my back and the elevator. It screamed loudly, twisting and flopping. Two teeth-filled mouths on each end, snapping, looking for something to bite. Modo calmly took it in his palm, closed it firmly around this thing, and squeezed. It went silent as Modo squeezed more and more, until a little tendril of smoke came from between his fingers. He inhaled the smoke to a final rumble. All went silent. Modo placed some of his healing salve upon my back and rubbed it in. Oh, it felt so good, bringing a great calmness and release of tension, overcoming that horrible trap feeling within myself, now lessening and fading.
There are more of these things we need to find. When the time is right for you.
Modo shared, his eyes full of love and caring for me. Yet I was so tired, and thanked Modo with a hug and a kiss on his great hand. He set me down upon a grassy hill above where the lighthouse stood. Simon and Feathers joined me. We lay down, my eyes much too heavy to keep them open. Then, down the hill, by the base of the lighthouse, I saw the night mare. She neighed loudly, front hoofs waving her pleasure at this outcome, for she too is trapped in these fearful, dreadful dreams. She so pleased when one by one is released for the dreamer, thus releasing her burden. She galloped back into the elevator, the door now closing quickly with ease and peace. I slowly closed my eyes to a peaceful sleep as I watched Modo walk away into the distance, back to his beloved mountains. With one last look to the lighthouse, I saw Harry standing high on the balcony, smiling broadly as he held a pendulum that swung strongly over his open palm, just like a clock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Blessings and hugs, dear listener.